Yes, it's Monday. It's April 29, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you're just tuning in. We've got Stewie filling in this morning with Loz and on Heroes and Villains Monday. And we'll take more calls after 7:30, but Buzz is coming up shortly from the Daily Telegraph. Cronulla beat Canberra 40-0 yesterday. And in the other match yesterday, the Knights beat the Dolphins 18-14. Newcastle up 18-6 late. Jermaine Asako and Jake Avarillo crossed in the 77th and 78th minutes in that match. Asako failed to convert either try. Fullback David Armstrong, he crossed on debut. His opposite Trey Fuller also impressed. So the Knights 13th on the ladder, 3 wins, 5 losses. The Dolphins 6th, 4 wins, 3 losses. No Ponga Loz, obviously, so a good win for the Knights. They're going to have, you know, obviously a tough period ahead without Kalen in the side. But the likes of Dane Gagai's really stepped up at the moment. He's got himself back in origin calculations, you'd think, wouldn't he, for Queensland, particularly with, I guess, a bit of a question mark over Hemiso's availability.
Yeah, well, he missed out on last year's series, didn't he, Dane Gagai? And that was a surprise because we all thought that Queensland stay loyal. To the people who have done the job for them in the past. I know it's garbage, Stewie. Don't get me started. But no, he's a really good player, Dane. And well done to the Newcastle Knights yesterday. Because without Kalen Ponga, a lot of people had written him off. But they showed a bit yesterday. And young David Armstrong, he looks to be a fine prospect. Got a bit of X factor about him. Got plenty of speed. Always something happening around him when he's near the football. So they've just got to keep, you know, going along the path they've started on yesterday and hopefully get better, stay in a position to play finals football when Kalen comes back, and he might be the difference between getting them there or not. But I think they handled it extremely well because it could have quite easily been one of those games where they went, oh, this could be too hard and lose their way, but they didn't. They started with intent to start with, got a little bit wobbly towards the end, but they were good enough to hang on.
Might be a bit harsh, Stu, on your Sharks. Soft draw. Can only beat what's in front of you.
You can only beat who you're playing. They've got to play.
Softish draw.
Well, look, everyone will say they've been out the first 2 weeks in the finals, which is correct. Well,
they won't be judged until they win. That's right. In September, will they?
That will be the benchmark. But in saying that, they haven't played they haven't played Penrith. They haven't played Brisbane. They haven't played the Storm. And look, that is what the draw is, but. Look, you can't really test yourself, and they're the benchmark teams, aren't they? I know the Sharks are sitting on top, but look, those teams I've just mentioned there are quality outfits.
Morning, Buzz.
Morning, boys. Up, Cronulla.
Shut up.
Black, white, and blue. come on, give us a break, Middell, will you? Actually, people like you, not giving them any credit, underrating them. Keep it up, please.
You need to win a final, Buzz. You need to win a final after what's happened the last 2 years. But they're going good. There's no doubt about that. And
and if you have a look to their draw, they've got St George this weekend. The Derby's and St George will be on the rebound. That's at home. You won't get a ticket to that at Shark Park. Then, in the four of the next 5 games are against Storm, Roosters, Panthers, Broncos. So, look. No one in the Shire is getting carried away yet, but Nico's in great form. Cameron McGuinness is what an underrated player he is. But we're going to get a great indication, I think, on Origin Eve, just where this side's heading this year.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Buzz. I think everyone is just waiting and seeing how the Sharks go against some of these better-ranked teams, but they're beating everyone in front of them at the moment, and that's all you can do. You mentioned Nico and Cam McGuinness. Hypothetically, do those two players make the State of Origin side? Because when you look at the Sharks there's no standout rep player, really, is there?
No, but I think Nico should be now. I think he's a standout selection now to play 5-8. I looked at Game 3 team last year and Cody Walker was there and with Moses, and he obviously won't be there this year. And look, Jerome Luai's an easy choice alongside his triple premiership winning half, Nathan Cleary. But I think Nico's form is impossible to ignore. And you talk about Cameron McGuinness. you know what? I keep scratching my head. How did Anthony Griffin let him go for McCulloch about 3 years ago at St George? It's been a massive bonus for Cronulla. Look, I can't see McGuinness being in Origin contention because he's up against Isaiah Yeo. Mm. He's up against Cameron Murray at South Sydney, who can play anywhere in the forwards. And there's also Jake Trbojevic at Manly.
I think the fact he can play hooker.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that brings him into the conversation because I picked him on my bench last year. I had him there because he can cover hooker, play in the middle, rather than going the two specialist hookers that New South Wales were toying with. And I think he wouldn't look out of place, put it that way.
Who'll that be at hooker, you think?
Ooh, Robson. Hooker. Robson.
Boys.
Happy.
There has come. Yeah, I was going to say, I think clearly the best hooker in the comp this year is Appy Corrissau. Mm. He has been sensational for the West Tigers. With Robson number two.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with either of those guys. This one sort of caught my eye, Buzz. Latrell, there's some talk about him making himself unavailable for Origin. What he's done so far this season and to have this time off through suspension, I think it was always going to be difficult for him to be a part of that Game 1 team. Two things I want to talk about. How close is he to making himself unavailable, and will it be for the whole series? And the impact that it actually has on players picking and choosing when they can play representative football or not, and the impact that that might have into the future, and in particular when we get to a situation if it's a dead rubber for Game 3.
Yeah, look, it's a really, really interesting question because I was going to raise that myself. I'm not sure what the NRL will think about players picking and choosing whether they are to make themselves available. It is a part of every NRL contract that a player must make himself available for representative football. And if they don't, they need a medical certificate or to be ruled out by whoever the doctor may be for that representative side. Look, I think the problem is going to be an easy one to solve for Michael Maguire with the Blues, because on form, there is absolutely no way Latrell can justify selection in this side outside of his suspension. He has had, he played strong in Vegas, but he's been pretty sluggish other than that prior to the suspension. When my two centres would be Tom Turbo and Stephen Crichton from the Bulldogs. If anything was to happen to those two, I think Tony Staggs and Bradman Best, who was outstanding Game 3 last year, would be the next two candidates. So I think Latrell at Best is probably a number 5 selection at this stage. I do like Latrell's mindset, whether the NRL like it or not. Mm. I love the fact that he's going to put the South Sydney Rabbitohs, where he has underachieved, been unavailable for so many finals since he's been there through ill discipline or through injuries. I love the fact that he's thinking South Sydney are now my number one. It's what every Rabbitohs fan wants to hear. And, look, I can understand what he's thinking.
Yeah, no, I can too, Buzz. When you've been out of form and your team's not going well, you want to focus in on your club. So I understand that. But I just reckon sometimes we might be setting ourselves up here because, as I mentioned before, if you allow them to pick and choose when they do
I know.
Just with that scenario of dead rubber Game 3, you might have a lot of players pulling out of that third Origin.
Yeah, of course you would. And the other thing is, we often get players well into the back end of their career who might retire from representative football, but they actually retire. They don't pick and choose. Won't play game one or two, which is understandable. You know what? It won't happen. But if Dally Cherry Evans, given his service to New South Wales, to Queensland and Australia, decided, look, I'm 35, 36, whatever he is, I've had
no time. Well, no one would begrudge him that, would they?
No. And the young fellow from the Cowboys, Tom Dearden, had slid in there you know, with Cameron Munster. But Latrell is going to be an interesting one for the NRL to monitor.
Yeah, he certainly will. There's a lot to play out there. We're talking about Souths. They take on Penrith this week. That's not going to get any easier. Demetrio, there'll be plenty of question marks around that. Who knows where that's going to end? You keep hearing things, Buzz, but you hear the counter opinion that no, he's good, and they're going to give him longer.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll know in 48 hours. The South Sydney have a board meeting, a planned board meeting scheduled for tomorrow. Obviously, top of the agenda will be Jason Demetrio's future. We thought and we were told that he was a dead man walking a week or two ago. You saw their performance in Melbourne on, what was it, Anzac Day, Thursday night. They've got Penrith this weekend. If he survives the board meeting, is it a band-aid solution to keep JD there? Is it his fault that, you know, Latrell was so ill-disciplined that, you know, Campbell Graham hasn't been there, that Jai Arrow's been away, Alex Johnson's out. Cookie hasn't been playing as great. Look, it's a really, really difficult one, but when they backed him a couple of weeks ago, they didn't back him long term. So I think they've got to take some, at least come out of that board meeting with some sort of statement to say he's there for the rest of the season, or we're going to look at Ben Hornby, or we're going to look at Mal Meninga just for the rest of this year, or we're going to look at Michael Maguire to come back, who won the title there. I think it's got to be a statement board meeting, and the uncertainty, which would not be helping the players, needs to be addressed.
Mm. Well, what do they do then, Buzz? Because obviously we'll find out in the next 48 hours, but in the short term, there's some talk that Cody might play seven, Whiten into six, and they've also signed this young pummy halfback, Lewis Dodd. Do you know much about him?
Yeah, very good player, Loz, from St Helens, highly successful club, as you know, under Mike Rush in the UK Super League. And we all saw Lewis Dodd here 2 years ago, the World Club Challenge final against Penrith at Penrith Park, man of the match. Very, very good player. And look, I like the fact that, you know, the Rabbitohs are getting on the front foot and addressing recruitment. Short term, sadly, I don't think Dean Hawkins has aimed up since he came into the side for Lachlan Ilias. I'm getting mail out of Heffron Park that Jason Demetrio will now look at moving Cody Walker to halfback, Jack Whiten to 5'8". When Latrell's ready to return after the Penrith game, he'll play centre because you've got to keep the young fullback there. You know, is that the answer? I don't know, but they've got to try something else. There is a long-term effect with the Lewis Dodd signing in that Lachlan Ilias, who is out injured for the rest of this year. I can't see him staying at the Rabbitohs. I think there are other opportunities at other clubs. He and his manager, Braithen Astor, will be investigating. I would not be surprised this week if they ask South Blake Solly for permission to negotiate elsewhere.
Now, Parramatta, where are they at, Buzz, coming off? Well, they were very competitive for a lot of that game the other night, and Manly just came over the top of them late there at Brookvale. But they've got some issues, particularly in the second half, don't they? As far as their, well, you look at their for and against recently in the second half, it's not pretty.
No, I wrote this morning, mate, in the last four games, it's 104-33 in the second halves, and 40-8 in Darwin, 26-4 v Manly, 28-8 v Canberra. Now, this Manly game has been a bit misleading because they were reasonably competitive. They came back strong until Mako Sivo did the most ridiculous elbow forearm onto the head of an opponent. It was just a terribly, terribly dumb thing to do, and I'd drop him from the football side for it.
Well, that was
sorry.
After,
go on, you
he
go,
spoke
Clarkie.
After the press conference. He Brad Arthur confirmed that it was dumb. Whether he drops him, I don't know. But It was dumb.
Oh, mate, you can't have. Look, they were really up for that game after an embarrassing loss in Darwin. And for one player to be so stupid and wreck the work of his teammates, Manly are so hard to beat at Brookvale. And they'd come back into that game. I think he deserves to be dropped, not for 1 week, but for a long period of time. That's just my view.
Yeah, I don't agree with you much, Buzz, but I reckon on this occasion I do, in terms of, you know, what happens on the field and away from the field with silly incidents. That was just, it was dumb.
We talk about the Hetherington stupidity of the tunnel blow up and, you know, not being able to control his emotions when he was bathed against the Bulldogs. But this was A-grade stupidity. Mm. There was absolutely no reason for it.
It was back to the dim dark ages where you could get, now with all the cameras, there's no way you can actually go with that sort of stuff. So, hey, this is going to keep raging on, and we spoke about it very briefly this morning, but the kickoff, Nathan Gibbs, long-term doctor with New South Wales and various sports across Australia, he's joined the debate around concussion and off the kickoff.
Yeah, well, Nathan Gibbs has been around 40 years, as you said, with clubs, Origin, Kangaroos, Swans, Waratahs, 40 years, former captain of the Rabbitohs. When he talks, I think the game's got to listen. I really do, and it's... debate that Bulldog started about 6 weeks ago. I've been going banging on. I went back and found a story I wrote in 2019 about the collisions in rugby league and the size of players. Front rowers used to be mid 90 kilos. Excuse me. Now they're 120 kilos. They're faster, stronger, bigger. The collisions are greater. Nathan Gibbs supports the fact that we need to take it out of the game. But look, then I spoke to all the players, and I don't know if you read the column. Luke Lewis said, if we get rid of the kickoff, I'll never watch rugby league again. And then I spoke to Dale Finucan, who retired last week because of repeated head knocks. He said, no, he grew up every game waiting to see that first hit up. Now, Martin Lang, he's doing a PhD in neuroscience. Very clever fella. He's against it, banning it too. But you know, the best thing is that the game is now having a debate about it. It's on the radar of the NRL. I think it needs a lot more research. I think at the end of the year, they need to go back and look at every HIA this year and look at what caused them. Was it fatigue? Was it tackle technique? Was it the kickoff return? And then sit down with the likes of Dr. Gibbs and the medicos in rugby league, the coaches. Because you know what? Can you imagine how big these gladiators and stronger and more powerful they're going to be in 20 years' time?
Buzz, I totally agree, mate. And I think this is the biggest challenge that all contact sports are facing at the moment. The chance of players being concussed and what that means for the game and what it means for litigation further down the track. So I think you've got to protect players from themselves. But it's just hard here sitting, listening and thinking about the game not having kickoffs. I know it's a debate that we have to have.
There are a lot of other collisions in rugby league that you don't have to be, you know, have players running at them for full pace for 20 to 30 metres. It's a brutal game as it is. But look, I know the fans love that part of the game and I can understand that. And I'm sort of fence-sitting myself at the moment. I don't want to get rid of it either. But I don't want blokes having problems later in life. I just don't.
No, and that's the issue, Buzz, that I find myself in this situation, thinking about what I want for the game, but what I want to see happen to players with life after football, because I want to see them go and have the rest of their life and not have any concerns at all about...
Yeah, one of the stories of the weekend was the ferocity and the fearlessness of the way Nathan Brown... at Brookvale Oval, four Manly returned the football off the back fence. Mm. They were all talking about it, and the Manly players were so excited about his courage. Incredible courage these guys have got, because they don't deviate, Laurie. They don't get there and step. They can't. They're big men.
And you know what, Buzz? I could not do what they do. Mm. It's a certain person that can carry the ball off a kickoff. I know that.
Laurie, you couldn't do it from 5 metres away, let alone 40. I couldn't. They're so brave, these people. Mm. So much courage. I really admire them. But sometimes people like Nathan Gibbs need to step in and encourage, for their own safety, their own well-being, their own long-term care, to stop it. Anyway.
Buzz, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Hey, when's the other Clarkie back?
Next week.
Good question.
Oh, is he, mate, next week, I am going to absolutely give it to him when he comes back.
What's he done?
I've never known anyone. A breakfast radio, as much as Stu's doing a sensational job, I reckon he's better than Michael, but anyway, don't quote me on that.
That'll get straight back to
him. He'll know that by about 10 minutes' time.
No, I'll tell you that. Mate, I've never known anyone to have such a long holiday.
It's not a holiday, he's working.
Oh, mate, why don't we all take a month off this wonderful radio program? Please, give me a break.
Good on you, Buzz.
Thanks, Buzz. See you, Buzz. Bye. Heroes and Villains on a Monday. Give us a call, 1353-5304-19767-272 on the text line. $100 gift card to give away for the best contribution this morning. Ali Mosley's off today. She's away. So we've still got Phil Moss to come to talk football and Wallaby great Matt Burke as well. Both Mossy and Berkey coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. Just some results from overnight. English Premier League, North London Derby. Huge matches always. And it was at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and Angers Spurs were beaten by Arsenal. Their hated rivals. 3-2 it was there last night to the Gunners. Manchester City beat Nottingham Forest 2-0. And Bournemouth beat Brighton 3-0 in the other game overnight. And, well, it all means that City are 1 point behind Arsenal, but City have a game in hand of the Gunners. So Arsenal 80 points, City 79. 35 and 34 games played respectively. So the Gunners have got 3 games left, City 4 in the race for the title in the Premier League. Just also some MotoGP overnight as well. The Spanish GP, Pecco Bagnaia won that, beat Marquez. They ran 1-2, and just looking for Aussie Jack Miller, he had a DNF there. In the AFL yesterday, huge win for the Swans. 76 points they beat Hawthorn by at the MCG. Isaac Handy is into $4.50 and favourite to win the Brownlow medal. Kicked 3 goals, 21 touches, generally just a big impact all across the park. At the G, and Logan McDonald, he kicked 3. The great Lance Franklin was presented to fans at halftime as well, saying he wanted to return to the MCG and thank all the Hawthorn fans as well for obviously with his two former clubs playing each other, a good time to do that. The Gold Coast Suns, they beat the West Coast Eagles by 37 points on the Gold Coast yesterday as well, and Geelong is still unbeaten in the AFL. The Cats beat Carlton by 13 points Saturday night. What about the round we've got this week though? The showdown in Adelaide, Thursday night. Market, it's just about a toss-up. Adelaide $1.95, Porter $1.85. Carlton and Collingwood, Friday night. Carlton $1.80, Collingwood $2. Sydney GWS, Saturday afternoon at the SCG. The Swans $1.75 with Tab, GWS $2.05. Melbourne and Geelong, Saturday night. Melbourne $2.05, Geelong $1.77. Patrick Dangerfield suffered another hamstring injury, though, for the Cats. You still don't think the Cats can win at Lots?
No, I'm not sold on the Cats.
Beat Carlton.
I know they beat Carlton. Carlton,
Jeremy Cameron's kicking goals.
Carlton had their opportunities. They missed so many goals early. Mm. I don't know. I still have Carlton. I have the two Sydney sides, GWS and the Swans in front of Geelong. Not sold on Melbourne.
No. Brisbane have gone backwards.
Yeah, they've gone backwards.
Yeah, they got problems, Brisbane.
Look, they're doing all they can at the moment, and people with a better idea of AFL will tell you that they're a massive chance of winning Geelong, but I just have the other three teams in front of them, and Carlton being one of them. I just think...
I don't know. I like watching them play. And I think if they get it right, they're as damaging as any team. But for mine, the two Sydney teams are the standouts, GWS and the Swans, in no particular order.
Gosh, could you imagine Melbourne? We get that Quinella. Oh. I mean, they won't cope in Victoria if it's a Swans GWS grand final.
40,000
people. It would be just hilarious just to see the reaction because there'll be blow-ups.
40,000 people.
It'll fill. Don't worry about that. It's a granny.
What would be the split grand final, though, if it was a GWS Sydney Swans?
We could talk about moving it to Sydney. We could that would be a discussion.
Mm. Oh, we should.
But
move
the neutral
it.
Fan
the neutrals will go
would
for
go
the Giants.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's exactly
yeah,
right.
Absolutely, they'll. I think a lot of Melbourne will go the Giants if that was the grand final.
Probably.
Just because of Sydney and the...
Yeah. Eddie Maguire will have a meltdown. honestly, the blow-up will be worth listening to. Mm. But we've got a long way.
There's a long way to go. I can't see Port winning it. I think they suffered Sam Powell-Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
He is Powell Pepper.
Yeah.
He did his knee on the weekend.
Like a lot of it, though, it's going to depend on injuries. Like, it's no in these sports, rugby league's the same. If they lose three of their best players,
yeah.
Do you want to write Collingwood off?
No.
So Geelong and GWS are $5 at the top of betting. Sydney 6, Carlton 7, yeah. Melbourne 8, Collingwood 10. Then you go to Port 15, Brisbane 18, Fremantle 26, 40-1, and longer the rest.
Well, anyone under Melbourne, I don't give a chance to.
No, I'm not.
So you're giving Collingwood no chance?
No, I don't think they're playing as well as they did last year.
The sort of team that can go on a run, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they can.
Momentum. Mm.
But they couldn't get it done against Essendon the other day.
Fair.
They couldn't get it done against Essendon, and Essendon are an up-and-down team.
Mm. And the factor says, could they break the regular season crowd record of 96,000 this Friday night's Pies-Blues game? And in fact, the AFL's just put out a release.
Oh, mate, that would be 100,000, wouldn't it?
It would be close too. So round 7 that's just been completed was the second highest attended round ever. 408,433 fans went to the matches. And the only round that's beaten it was round 1 this year, which was 413,000. So yeah, crowds turning up in their droves for the AFL. Glenn, good morning. How are you?
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
Heroes are all the fantastic Anzac Day celebrations over the weekend. I thought they did fantastic in both codes. I forgot about Cam Smith and Mark Leishman, so I'd like to add them in. But unfortunately, Laurie, your losing streak of multis continued on the weekend, mate.
He's a villain. I agree.
Yeah, no, I'm a villain. I got one right out of the two, but unfortunately... A multi is more than one.
Yeah. And were you happy with Foxy's run in Adelaide on the weekend?
If I want to be critical, I can be.
Yeah.
But I don't like to share what I was saying on the day of the race.
Well, you can't share.
Yeah, no.
What did you think?
I thought, considering where she was during the run, I thought the run home was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought the same, but I wasn't expecting her to be back where she was.
Back, yeah. Mm. Ah, well.
Anyway, that's racing.
That's racing, mate.
Exactly.
And there's always next week,
Laurie. 100%, and I'll be back again. Although, the sexy one's out for a spell.
She's out for a rest.
She's having a bit more time off. Yeah.
She's not Clarky, she's having a spell.
No, good on you, Glenn.
Got to get down to shops.
Good on you. Yep.
Cheers, mate.
He's back next week, Michael, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
what date is it?
When does this IPL finish? It's been going on and on. I couldn't tell you. I watched a little bit on the weekend. First time I've watched
it. Oh,
what about
Jake Fraser-McGurk?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's first time I actually clicked on the TV and thought, oh, look, he's 80-odd. And I didn't actually, or 70-odd, and I didn't actually look at the number of balls. I just went, oh, geez, that's good for the kid. And then I sort of, throughout the next couple of minutes, I looked and I went, hang on a sec, he's only faced... I was trying to work out...
He's 20-something balls.
Yeah, 84 balls, off 27 balls
27,
for Delhi.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So it's going at more than 3 runs a ball. It's over 300 strike rate. He was just hitting the ball out of the ground.
They pick him in the team, don't they?
You have to pick him now. They have to pick him now. The interesting one is, who do they leave out? And, you know, do they have the... are they going to leave Warner? Because he's playing at Delhi in front of Warner.
Mm. Warner's crook.
Yeah.
He's got the crook thumb.
Yeah, so...
upset on the weekend, or on Friday when we spoke to him.
So, do you take David Warner to the World Cup? And if you do, does he play in front of Fraser McGurk? Because Fraser McGurk...
well, I think you take him, and then you work out how they're all travelling, don't you?
Depends what the wickets are like, too. I mean, they're playing on flat wickets, small grounds. You imagine the West Indies are going to be pretty similar, you would have thought. But, you know, it's very conducive to batting in India at the moment. Like, the scores are obscene. Like, 280, 260.
Ridiculous.
You know, someone got 260, got chased down. Johnny Bairstow got 100. They got him with 13 balls to go.
Yeah.
That's two overs worth. It's ridiculous.
It's being a captain in that situation.
The fielders are irrelevant. We're talking to a few blokes on the weekend that, you know, they put the fielders out in the boundary. Well, they need to go and sit in the stand.
Yeah.
Where would you like me? Go 13 rows back. You might catch one there.
Just some other cricket news. I see Jason Gillespie's the new test coach at Pakistan. Gary Kirsten will be their limited overs coach at Pakistan, which, you know, they're always have, it's always some sort of turmoil in Pakistan cricket. There's always boards being overthrown or changes, etc. But you get the feeling one day Jason Gillespie will probably coach Australia, don't you, Stewie?
You get that sense. He's doing his time. So he's been in England for a period of time. He was in Adelaide, and then he was at the Redbacks, and then sort of not there anymore. I'm not sure, quite sure what happened there, but I think he might have... there might have been a mutual agreement to move. But that might have been based on the fact he was going to get the Pakistan job as well. So, look, he's doing his time around the world at various teams. You get the sense that, you know, should Andrew McDonald say he's had enough, it just depends on what the team... the coach has to match the team. It doesn't matter what sport it is. Maybe Wayne Bennett can get away with it, but... Andrew McDonald fits the current team because there are a lot of senior players within that team that played a lot of test cricket. So, you know, he acts as a confidant or a voice or an opinion as opposed to maybe a hard-edged coach for young blokes.
He's a manager.
Yeah, like rather than young blokes trying to find their way in it that need a bit more structure and direction and a bit more. Whereas, you know, a lot of blokes in that team, like, how do you tell Cummins, Stark and Hailsford how to bowl? How do you tell Lathan Lyon what to do? How do you tell Smith, you know, probably hasn't the best last 6 to 12 months, but there's a lot of guys in that team very experienced.
We've got Steve. G'day, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, morning, boys. Hey, if we do get the best AFL grand final ever, being Sydney and GWS, I reckon it'd be 80-20 Swans crowd because they still got that connection to
with
the rusted on Swans, South Melbourne.
You're right about that.
Yeah, but you only get, don't you only get, both clubs get a certain amount of tickets.
This is true.
And then the tickets are open to anyone else. So what I was thinking was they would have the same amount, but then the neutrals would, a lot of them would support GWS. That's what I was thinking. No.
I reckon not, because GWS is a Sydney-centric team. Where the Swans have still got that connection. So I think they'd go for them.
Yeah,
they may do. Yeah.
Anyway, heroes and villains, heroes. Sticky, 500 games, which is an amazing effort considering how many starts he's had at clubs. but if you have if you actually have a look at his stats, he's only 11 short of a combined 800 playing and coaching. That's incredible. That's right up there. So, when that happens in a couple... By the end of the year, I think that should absolutely be lauded.
Can't disagree with you.
And villain, as much as Anzac Day means, I think we need to step back from all these unnecessary jersey changes. There's a couple of games there on the weekend. I'd had no clue who was playing. But South Sydney, you couldn't even recognise them. North Queensland, you couldn't recognise them. If they want to go and honour. Change the design, but do it in the club colours. Don't just go random and make it really hard for people to work out who's playing.
I take your point. I guess it's, you know, it's all well intentioned though, isn't it? But I understand what you're saying. If you change it, keep the colours. Sean, good morning.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Very well, mate. Who's your hero and villain?
Mate, my hero is the way the NRL do Anzac Day. The way they celebrate it, the way they portray it, especially that down in Melbourne and at Amy Park, that's haunting. That is just so well done. It's out of this world. I'd love to go there one night and watch them do that. It'd be fantastic to see. And my villain Tane Nil, fading Lozzie. What an idiot. See, you just can't go and do this sort of crap. You can break your guy's leg. I hope you get 20 weeks.
Yeah,
you only get two, but, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Well, he just didn't need to do it. It was you talk about time. Brain
the game was dead. Snaps, the game was
over. You just go, mate, what are you thinking? Like, it's just, that's dumb. It's just silly. You run the risk of injuring the player, but you put your teammates off because you're going, even the teammates would be sitting there going, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Now we're struggling and we're going to be left one short for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So you'll let us down there as well.
Yep.
Good on you, Sean. You're in the mix, mate. We've got John. G'day, John. Hello, John. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. Morning, Laurie, and morning, Stu. How are you? It's all right.
Good, thanks, John.
Good, mate. Our heroes and villains. Look, my hero is actually Ange Postecoglou. I know they got beat overnight by Arsenal, but what an outstanding season, fellas. I mean, at the beginning of the year, if you'd have told anyone that Spurs were going to finish in front of United, Chelsea and Newcastle, you'd be thinking Champions League. Yet he didn't bank on an outstanding year from Villa and losing Harry Kane at the beginning of the season as well. I think he's, you know, another way of putting Australian football on the map, boys, with Andrew. I think he's been outstanding with Spurs.
They just you just worry about how they're going at the moment. They are going, you know, over the course of the season, you're right, you made a great point. Just the losses, the goals they're leaking this late in the season. They lost 4-0 to Newcastle last week and 3-2 overnight. I know it's the derby against Arsenal, but they are still in the mix for fourth because they're on 60 points. And they've played two games less than Villa, who are 7 points ahead of them. So hopefully they can turn it around for Ange's sake. But who's your villain, mate?
Oh, look, respectfully, as a Tigers fan, it's Phil Rothfield, fellas. His Sunday column the last few weeks, he's been attacking the Shane Richardson in particular at the Tigers on a weekly basis. And I found his column yesterday a bit bemusing, to be honest with you, where he brought up the fact that the Tigers showed a loss the last financial year and also that the membership numbers weren't correct. In fact, they were way out. And I'm thinking, well, why are you blaming Richo for that? Richo's only been in the job since November. Us Tigers fans that know that Phil had a very close relationship with Justin Pascoe and Lee Halepanangelis. So, with respect, mate, it seems a little bit agenda-driven, if you ask me.
Okay, yeah. Buzz cops plenty. There's no doubt about that. And we appreciate it, mate. Thanks for the call, as always. Just on the Tigers, well, getting Sunia Taruva. Ivan Cleary left him out as well of that Penrith Cowboys game and, you know, conceded after it was because he was going through his contract decision, pointed to how much that can take out of a young player, but he did say he'll be back. They've got, South have got Penrith, don't they, this week?
I thought Latrell was going to be back this weekend, but obviously he's not. But taking on Penrith,
it's Thursday night.
Nathan Cleary would be better for the run.
Yeah, he looked like he was finding his way a bit.
Yeah, just finding his way.
That's normal.
And a game to come back, you've got to travel up to North Queensland. You're coming off the back of a hamstring injury. So the travel, then the conditions.
Yeah.
The humidity up there in a tight game, fast game.
Cramping.
Emotional game. Yeah, it would have taken a lot out of him.
So he looked just like he got through. He actually looked better in the second. He looked a bit ginger in the second. Just a bit nervous about everything. And then as the game flowed. And then I think he got a bit fatigued. I think the game was quick and it was hot. If you forget how much the heat takes it out of you, I reckon Parramatta and the Dolphins, almost suffered a little from it yesterday. They just looked a bit fatigued coming out of Darwin the week before, where it was just stifling. It's unbearably hot up in those sort of places, and it takes a little bit of time to get over it.
But, Loz, I guess you can understand Cleary leaving Taruva out.
Oh, most definitely, because everyone handles that type of publicity differently. An older, experienced player would probably just be able to park it and move on and focus in on the game. Whereas a young boy, never been in demand before, all of a sudden he's got options and he's got to make a decision. And obviously Ivan would have noticed what his standards are at training and probably noticed that he was not engaging as well as what he should have been leading into the game. So he just thought, you know what, I need to give this boy some slack here and rest him for the weekend, clear his head, let him get over the decision that he's made, We've got Alamonte sitting here who played extremely
well.
I
think that's the other point that with the whole thing. Yeah, okay, leave him out. But if you haven't got anyone to replace him, that's a problem. But Penrith, as we know, one out, next bloke in. Alamonte, he was enormous. He was really good. So from that point of view, it's an easy decision when you've got the luxury of having extra players, isn't it?